The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, joined by Chef Tim Rosendahl. He drops by every week to talk about food, and this week we're talking about cabbage.
And we're not talking about to be cabbaged, which is kind of to be exhausted, or a cabbage head, a foolish person. We're talking about the vegetable.
Or how much you're going to bet, how much cabbage you're going to put on the table.
Good point. Cabbage can be referred to as money as well, or a trading instrument. No, we're talking about cabbage, the vegetable, that's in your grocery store wherever you live, almost wherever in the world, I might add. It's on the shelf all the time. It's available year-round. It's primarily grown in northern climates, northern hemisphere, but that's not to say that I remember a cabbage field outside of my southwest of Miami. So commercially, it's more northern hemisphere, but it's available everywhere.
Well, where would Eastern European cuisine be without cabbage?
Isn't that the truth? And, you know, and that's there's a little bit of disparity of whether it comes from China or it comes from Eastern Europe. But, you know, when you get numbers like 1,000 B.C., you know,
wow.
who's measuring?
It's been around a while.
It's been around a long, long time. And as a chef, it's fun to work with because there's so many different things that you can do with it, whether you steam it or broil it or grill it or cook it raw or baste it. Or there's so many things you can do with it. The one thing And it can be sweet or savory as well. Now, when I say that, I don't want to insinuate that I've ever used cabbage in a dessert preparation, but we do it all the time with apricots and raisins and figs and fruit as in a filling, stuffed cabbage. So there's lots of different applications to it.
When I go into a supermarket and I'm looking for cabbage, what am I most likely to find and what should I be looking for?
Well, you're looking for, you know, the problem is, if you're a party of one, buying a whole head of cabbage.
That's a commitment.
That's a commitment, that's for sure. But now we're lucky enough we can find it cut into quarters and we can buy it pre-shredded for coleslaw. I never recommended buying it pre-shredded because they have to flush that bag with nitrogen gas and it just totally changes the flavor. It takes out the earthy, musty. Well, the cabbage taste,
And shredding cabbage is not hard.
No, not at all. And there's, you know, cabbage is closely related to cauliflower and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and kohlrabi and collard greens. And the two cabbages that we primarily see in the grocery store in this part of the country is Savoy cabbage and green cabbage. Now, when I say green cabbage, that could be also red, it could be purple, it could be white, but it's that solid head. And back to your question of what you look for when you're buying a head of cabbage, you're looking for a firm head. You're looking for so the weight is important. We have brought cabbage to a point over many, many years that we've made it much more dense, much more nutritious, much more healthy. But the weight is a primary concern. And then that the leaves are packed tightly. Which is back to the weight again, but you're not looking for, you want to make sure if the outside leaves are starting to roll up, then you know it's been sitting around for a while. So as always, from the backyard is the best, and then from your local farmer's market is the second best, and the grocery store is the third best, but there is a big difference.
Well, a long time ago, I heard cabbage and other vegetables like Brussels sprouts and broccoli and cauliflower referred to as cruciferous vegetables, which in a sense meant they were packed with good stuff.
Yeah, and they are, and they're loaded with vitamins K and C and loaded with fiber. And they're only 33 calories per cup. And when we think of cabbage, you know, if you go into someone's house, it used to be if they had cooked a whole head of cabbage.
You knew it.
Yeah, you knew it not only that day, but maybe the next day and maybe the next day. It went on for a while. And that's the sulfur content. And that's part of what's good for you in a cabbage. But that there is a smell, and it's not nearly as strong when you cook things like Brussels sprouts, but there is a smell associated with cooking cabbage.
Well, we have corned beef and cabbage. We have sauerkraut. We have cabbage used as kind of an extender with meats.
You know, fermenting cabbage or sauerkraut, as we refer to it now, there was a time when it naturally fermented, and only because we stored it for so long in the winter. In the winter months, it fermented on its own. With the moisture inside, it fermented and became what we know as sauerkraut. Where, of course, when we make sauerkraut now, we're adding vinegar and we're adding salt, and we're speeding up the process, but the same fermentation process that we're so likely to see on the television, on cooking shows, all over, because fermenting that has a lot of positive healthy attributes to the human body. We're making it very probiotic. We're naturally fermenting it. And the nice thing about cabbage, it has something in it that makes it very easy for your body to absorb the minerals and the nutrients.
Well, and you go into these kitchen stores these days, and you'll see these fermenting vessels they're selling. It's becoming more popular.
Yeah. You know, it's come to the point in kitchens that I see all over the country now that fermenting is a big thing. And, you know, whether we do it with carrots or cabbage or beets or kohlrabi, you know, it works with everything. What we're doing, call it pickles, call it fermenting, we're using some kind of an acid to speed up the process of breaking it down. And yes, the fermenting vessels, you know, it's funny you say fermenting vessels, but what it was for years was just a ceramic pot. You know,
yeah.
We don't want to use aluminum or stainless or metal because that reacts with the fermenting process. You have to use something, glass or ceramic. But yeah, it's a fun new cooking method,
and
it is a cooking method.
It's a much more expensive vessel than it probably used to be,
right.
Too. So do you make your own sauerkraut?
I have made sauerkraut many, many times. And I still, every time I go to an antique store, I'm always looking for those ceramic vessels we just referred to, the big ones. And yes, and I have friends here in the Midwest, actually in Fargo, I have friends that take great pride in their family recipe of sauerkraut. And I've made many versions of sauerkraut. I've made the German version, the Scandinavian, Norwegian. Some is with lingonberries, and some is with juniper berries, and some is with more black pepper or rye seeds or caraway seeds. They're all good. They're all wonderful. I'm not a big fan of a canned sauerkraut. When I was raised on canned sauerkraut, and maybe that's the reason I could have said during all those years that, no, thank you, I don't like sauerkraut. But now when it's homemade, I love it.
Well, you go a little further around the world and you run into pickled cabbage that's called kimchi.
Yeah, that is way bigger in the world than what we think. Sauerkraut is our number one way of fermenting or pickling cabbage. But kimchi in Asian countries, of course, they eat so much more cabbage. Just a quick statistic here. The average person in Russia eats 44 pounds of cabbage a year. United States, 8 pounds. I mean, we think that we eat a lot of cabbage, but Belgium, Netherlands, Spain are all in front of us for consumption of cabbage. And then you get to the Asian countries with kimchi, and they're even above that.
Well, there are lots of ways to prepare cabbage. We've talked about pickling it, and of course, you can boil it with that corned beef and serve it on the side with those potatoes and have this big Irish meal or pseudo-Irish meal. But what are the other ways to deal with cabbage that people might not have thought about?
Well, besides all of the versions of coleslaw, and believe me, coleslaw is just not mayonnaise and carrots and cabbage, what you see in every grocery store, think of making the next time you make coleslaw, make it warm, the German style, with bacon and apple cider vinegar and slices of apples. Or think of making it Asian style with ginger and garlic and lemongrass, making it that way. Or what I like to do is, I love stuffed cabbage, and I would learn to make stuffed cabbage the German way. But now I found, I find that the Jamaicans do it with the same filling as an empanada, and the Cubans do it the same as they would use for a seared steak, but they make a steak filling. So the different things you can put inside that pocket, if you will, same as we wrap a tamale with a corn husk, you're making some kind of a filling and using that cabbage as the wrapper for it. And then the nice thing, it freezes really well because it's got a lot of water in it. And so filling cabbage leaves has become I like to make quite a bit.
It sounds real good. How about when the weather heats up and we fire up the grill again?
Well, you know, romaine, like lettuce, like cabbage, my favorite, it's wonderful to grill. When you get a good firm head that you can slice into half-inch slices and marinate with whatever your favorite vinegar and oil is, and season it with your favorite telecherry pepper and whatever salt you like, and then let that soak for an hour or so, and then put it on an extremely hot grill, whether it's mesquite or applewood, whatever you're grilling on, and grill it just like a chicken breast. Grill it just like a steak, and you'll be amazingly surprised how it picks up the smoke, it picks up the char, and now all of a sudden you're eating it semi-raw, but it also has that char. So it's the yin and yang of hot and cold, and it's still crunchy. So it's the cabbage that you know from coleslaw, if you will, but now you're having it in a grilled preparation with a the marinade is you can change every day and make it whatever you'd like it to be.
Well, it sounds very good to me. If you have a question for Chef Rosie, it's easy to ask it. Just email us at mainstreet@prairiepublic.org.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.